I don't do this often. My father did it a whole lot. I don't do it often. I don't do it maybe once or twice a summer. But I was inspired being at my son's birthday a week ago at his house. He put on a video of Donald Trump playing best ball with Bryson DeChambeau. And Bryson DeChambeau is the U.S. Open winner. He won the U.S. Open this year, and he can drive a ball 390 yards off the tee. He's an amazing golfer and a tremendous golfer. Good-looking young man and a great golfer. Donald Trump was his partner, and best ball means you play the best ball that each one hits. For at least one hole, Donald Trump hit the best ball every time. I saw Donald Trump drive the ball 250 yards plus, which is amazing, and 78 years old. And I said, I'm inspired to play best ball with my son. Now, Donald Trump, you know, 18 holes of golf, if you shoot a 75 for 18 holes of golf, that's really good. Donald Trump and Bryson DeChambeau shot 50 for 18 holes. Now, I said, my son and I, we just want to break 100. If we get 100, we'll be happy, or break 100. And I think we shot 82. So I said, keep that card. He's going to keep it. That's something to shoot for. But you know what? I thank God for people like Donald Trump, 78 years old, full of energy, full of strength. You know, I've been preaching here for, this will be 46 years this year as a pastor. I've been here for nearly 53 years as a member of this church, serving God in this church, as a deacon or some place in this church. Today is, as I said, the 75th birthday of our senior deacon, Joe Sobotnik. He's downstairs right now preaching to the kids, Wonder Church. Goes out every week and goes out soul winning on Thursday, goes out soul winning on Saturday. Here for Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting, here for Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, and available to serve God, and just full of energy to do God's work. And I want to talk to you about that this morning, how you can stay strong for the long haul, how you can stay strong, how you can be strong. All right, and I want to talk to you about that because life has a way to hit you. Amen. Look up here, kids. Look up here, kids. Hey, look up here. Life has a way to hit you right in the face. It comes at you fast, and when it hits you, it weakens people, and they get weakened. I've seen strong boxers, and then they take some punches, and they get some body blows, you know, and they take some punches to the head, and pretty soon they're weak. They can't strike anymore. They don't have it left in them. And life is like that. It will try to take the punch from you. You may get encouraged at a conference. Brother Hoje just came back, got fired up, got encouraged. Life is geared to hit you and knock you back down to that level, that lower level. But I want to talk to you how you can stay strong. How you can stay strong throughout the year. How you can stay strong throughout the week. How you can stay strong throughout the month. How you can stay strong day by day by day by day. And that's a blessing. And so that's the name of the message. And I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 and look with me at three things I want to look at this morning from Isaiah 40. I want to preach an expository sermon on how you can stay strong. And I want to say, number one, by knowing the source of your strength. And look with me at verse 25 of Isaiah chapter 40. I'll read it. It says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Now I'm here to tell you this morning that you need to understand the source of your strength. If you don't understand the source of your strength, you're not going to stay strong. If the moon does not comprehend and have a relationship to the sun, the moon is not going to shine, beloved. And I want to say to you that it says right here in verse 25, Isaiah chapter 40, that it says that God is the Holy One. And a lot of people don't know what that means. God is the Holy One. And the Bible says, When you talk to God, the angels in heaven say, "Holy, holy, holy." The Bible says that the name of God is holiness is the Lord. It says God is love, but it doesn't say love is God. It says holiness is the Lord. The defining thing that defines God is His holiness. And you say, well, Pastor, what is God's holiness? It means He is unique. He is like nothing else or no one else. There's no God, small g, like Him. There's nothing in the universe that's like Him. And I am saying to you, if you want to know something about staying strong, you better know something about the source of all strength, the holy God of heaven. And He says, you know, He created everything. Everything out of nothing. He's not dependent on you or I. We are creatures of God. We are dependent on God. He withdraws from us, we fall flat on our face. But we withdraw from God, He stands strong. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need anyone. He is the everlasting God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is holy. He created everything. Nobody else has done what He has done. He's amazing. He is the everlasting God. And you stay strong by knowing God as the source of your strength. You know, there are people that the Bible says here that they make up idols and they have their own gods and they make them up and they try to do that. And you know what? Those gods are nothing but man's creation. God is not your creation. He created you. And therefore, we are obligated to God. You know, it says in Isaiah that all the nations of the world, all the people, all, you know, you see people, they're all excited about things they're doing and everything. The Bible says that compared to God, they're like a drop in a bucket. You ever hear that phrase, drop in a bucket? That's where it came from, Isaiah 40. All the nation, my grandfather, my grandpa Bloom, who came from Holland, he used to talk to me about this passage in Isaiah. And he said, man, all the nations to God are like a drop in a bucket. And he said they're like the dust on a balance. You know, a balance is a scale. And you balance God over here and all the nations of the world over here. And he said, compared to God, all the nations are not even like anything you put on the balance. They're just like dust that might get on the balance. In other words, they're nothing. Nothing before God. He is the source of all strength. You say, I want to stay strong. Then make much of God. Realize God is what it's all about.
Right.
Glorify God, look to God, see God, understand Him. And that's what it's talking about here, verse 25. Then look at verse 26 of the same chapter. It says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, God knows everything. He has a name for everything that He has made. The microscopic things and the macro stars in the sky, God knows all of their names. And the Bible says that in verse 26 that not one faileth. Why does not one faileth? God keeps them all going. You know, I've studied the atom. And you hear neutrons and electrons, and they make up the atoms, and they're the building blocks of matter. The molecules, you know, are the building blocks. And there's even these little things called quarks. Quarks, they're even smaller than neutrons and electrons and so forth. But they make up the basic building. And God, what keeps these things in orbit? Just like all the planets orbit around the sun, the Earth, Mars, Venus, Mercury, and so forth. They all orbit. What keeps these little building blocks of matter orbiting around the nucleus there? Well, the Bible says God does it.
Right.
He does it by the word of His power. If He withdrew, everything would explode. You've heard of an atomic bomb? An atomic bomb is when these atoms come apart. They either come apart or they fuse together. There's fusion and fission. You know, and fusion is a nuclear bomb, an atomic bomb is fission when they break apart, but it causes huge damage and explosion. Man didn't even discover this until the 20th century. But God has always had this power. He holds everything together by the word of his power. And who is the word of his power? The Son of the living God. And he's holding you together. He's holding me together. I'm thankful my mother's able to be here at her age. I'm not going to say her age. I want to live long, you know. And but she's here. And God is holding her up. And she was telling me, she said, I can't believe I've outlived my mother. I've outlived my father. I've outlived my sisters. I've outlived my brother. I've lived on. A lot of people in her family died 50 and then their 50s, very young. But she's lived on. She said, it's God. He's held me up. He's held me up. He's kept me going. Brother Joe, we thought he was in big trouble when he got that COVID. Remember that devilish COVID that the globalists launched on us from the Wuhan lab in China? That was no mistake. They launched it on us. They launched World War III on us. But God holds us up. He's the source of our strength. He's the source of everything. You can't take a step without him. He's not some deistic God that created everything and just lets it go out there and lets it alone. He is intimately involved in everything that goes on. Everything that goes on. He's not a distant God. There used to be a song, From a Distance. No, he's not from a distance. Beloved, he is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is, that means he's everywhere present. Omnipresent. Omniscient, that means he knows everything. He's omnipotent, that means he's got all the power of God. And that power is something that if you want to stay strong, you better know the source of your strength. And listen, you better know the one that holds everything together, who is the Son of God. Amen and amen. Hey, you kids, listen up back there. Wake up and sit up. Not time to go to bed. You're in church. You listen up. And I'm just saying, he holds everything by the word of his power. He holds it all up. He holds it all up and he sees everything, beloved. He's intimately involved in everything. And the only thing that keeps you out of hell, because you've sinned against this God, is he keeps your heart beating. Once it stops, you die and go to hell. You've dared to sin against God. You've dared to be an enemy of the God that I just talked about. And people think, oh, you know, I'm going to be all right. Everything's all right, you know. I'm going to be all right. No, it's not going to be all right. The Bible says he's going to turn the nations into hell. Those that go against God and forget God. You know, there's only one way, and thank God there is one way you can be saved. Right. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father. You're not going to come through Muhammad. Yep. You're not going to come through Buddha. Yep. You're not going to come through El Papa, the Pope in Rome. Amen. You're not going to come through some Jehovah false witness lie that lies about Jesus Christ. Right. You're not going to come through some Mormon lie that says Jesus is the brother of Satan. You're only going to come through Jesus Christ. Right. And the Bible is very clear. It says in John chapter 1 verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Boy, you have an opportunity this morning to receive him. If I were you, I'd sit up and listen and look at the pastor when he's talking to you, and don't try to go against God Almighty, because God sees you. He sees what you're doing and he knows what you're doing. And I'm saying to you, listen to me, the only way you can be saved is by receiving his mercy. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. You know what? I was a 17-year-old kid, a punk kid. My dad said I had a bad face, a stubborn face. God showed mercy on me. And he saved me through taking to me my grandmother's house She treated me real nice, and I opened up to her, and she gave me the gospel, and I got saved that summer because I received Jesus Christ. But you know what? The Bible says that the Jewish people, he was a Jewish Messiah, they didn't receive him, and they had to go through the Holocaust in terrible times. The Bible says that his creation didn't receive him. And the Bible says that if you don't receive him, you're going to die and go to hell. And so today, how can you stay strong? You can stay strong by knowing the source of your strength. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as the Bible talks about here. But I want you to look at verse 27. It says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" No, your way is not hid from the Lord, and your judgment is not passed over. Then look at verse 28. He says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." You see, God has all the power. Now, there are these guys that, you know, they're bodybuilders, and they kiss their muscles. They look in the mirror at themselves. I remember my oldest daughter, she went with a guy for a time who was a bodybuilder, and he would look at himself in the mirror all the time. And, you know, he'd never look at my daughter. I said, "Something's wrong there. You know, you're supposed to look at the woman, not yourself." But he wouldn't look at the woman and compliment her. He'd be always looking at himself. I said, "You need to break up with that guy." And she did. And she did. Thank God. And I'm just saying, God is not like that. God does not just always flex his muscles. But God is the source of our strength. He is strong. You know, if God makes you strong and you're a guy, you should protect a woman and not hurt a woman. I don't believe in a guy hurting a woman. Amen? And I don't believe in women being these powerful women that kick, you know, guys' rears. I don't believe that. You need to realize that if you're going to stay strong, you've got to know God is a God of omnipresence. God is a God of omnipotence. God is a God of omniscience. He knows what you're going through. People say, "Oh, God doesn't see me when I do this sin or that sin or the other." He doesn't. He'll punish it if you don't come to Christ and get saved today. "Oh, God doesn't see me." No, he does. Thank God. Thank God that he saves anybody. He's so gracious. He's so merciful. And he saves. But he sees you. And you're, if you're a child of God and you are saved, don't you ever think that God doesn't see you and know what's going on in your life. He doesn't know your problem. He doesn't know your need. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has the power to help you. He's omnipresent, so he's not out to lunch. He is there. You say, "Why doesn't he do it?" Because he doesn't consult you or I. He knows what's best. He is all wise. I can say I've learned by experience, as well as the teaching of Scripture, that I have a God who's a loving Heavenly Father who's too good, Missy Cabot, to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake. Missy's listening. I like that. You should be listening. Because if you're going to stay strong, you've got to know the source of your strength. God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Number two, you can stay strong by knowing the sharer of your strength. Look at verse 29 of Isaiah. It says this, I'll read it. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Now remember, he's got all the power, but he's not just standing there in the mirror looking at himself. Remember, he never gets tired. God never has to sleep. You know, I was tired last night. I was so tired I fell asleep in my chair, and I was trying to finish up for this morning. I fell asleep. I woke up. It was like a midnight. Then I tried to go to bed. I couldn't go to bed, so I had to get back up again. work, and I worked until I got tired, went back to sleep. But you know, God never needs sleep at all. The Bible says God doesn't slumber or sleep. I've seen you get sick, you get tired, so do I. You're just human, you're just mortal. But I've seen God, He never gets tired. He never has to go to sleep. He never gets sick. He can't die. He's immortal, invisible, God only wise. And yet, listen to me today. God is willing to share His strength with you, Jesse Kresge. God is willing to condescend to you and to meet your need in your life. And that's why it says in verse 27, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" No, He has all strength. He has all power. He flung all the stars into space. He calls them by name. He keeps them going. He keeps everything going. But He notices you. He knows everything about you. He has perfect knowledge. You can't even understand it or comprehend it. And you know why He knows these things? So that He can give you strength. If you realize that He's the one that gives His strength to you. The Bible says, "To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." I am so thankful that He had the power to make me a son of God. And He is willing now to share His strength with me so I can work with Him. I can serve Him and be yoked up with Jesus Christ. And He'll do that for you. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You see, He shares His strength. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only are you saved from your sin and from going to hell, but now you are joined to Christ and you are spiritually one with Him, and so His strength flows into you. His wisdom flows into you. He helps you. You died with Him to what you were, lost and in Adam and outside of God. You were buried when He was buried, and now you're raised again the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so you share in all that He has to give you. And you need to understand that. He is the one that's the sharer of your strength. But I want you to look at verse 30. It says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." You know what that means? That even young people get tired. Certainly older people get tired. I know that older people get weaker with age. I think of King David. He was a great warrior. He killed Goliath when he was a young man with a stone. But when he got older, it says in 2 Samuel 21:15, says this, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him. They fought against a giant," it says, "and they fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint." He needed his friend Abishai to kill the giant, and he did. But David got weaker with age. I think of my mother. She was very strong for many years, but my mother now, it's a challenge because you get weaker with age. And she wanted to go outside and watch my daughter play volleyball with my niece, Addie and Mindy. And my mom said, "I want to go outside." She said, "Walk me out." I took her and walked her down the stairs and walked her out so she could be there. And she could lean on me and get that strength. Now, as a little boy, I had to lean on my mother. Amen. Now, as she's my older mother, she has to lean on me. But guess what? We all lean on God. And we get strength from God. It's a blessing to get strength from God. I remember when I was a young man, I would see men of God, and I would wonder how these men of God were so strong. I remember when I was 19 years of age, I would see an evangelist preach and an older man, and I would say, look at this guy. He is strong spiritually. He's strong physically. He is standing for God. I go up and down. I'm a young man. And the Bible even says the young man will lose their strength. Even the young men will get tired. And you know what? A lot of times younger Christians, they're weak. You know why? They don't learn to draw from the one who shares his strength. The older you get, the weaker you realize you are. But if you're smart, you keep on drawing your strength from God Almighty. And as you do, he energizes you. You see, the Christian life is to take in from God your strength and then to give it out. And then you get empty and you get weary, but you go right back and you take it in. But there are some younger Christians, they may get involved in giving it out, but they don't know about God. And they're not getting it into them. And then they may go to a place where there's great men of God, and they get jacked up again and get encouraged again, and they start giving out again, but they're not drawing in from God themselves. And you need to do that in order to continue to be strong. And God says that he will make you to be able to do that because he is the one that shares your strength. Now, Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Do you know what? A lot of young Christians faint when trouble comes upon them. Trials come upon them. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's like Jose Gonzalez. He's going through some major sickness. But guess what? He's laying hold of God's strength. Amen? And maybe it's financial problem. I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe it's something in your life. And what happens is Christians that are young, they faint. They feel like God doesn't know about their problem. He doesn't care about their problem. Yes, he does. He wants your faith to lay hold of him and to get your strength from him. But if you're not looking at him as the source of your strength and you're not taking in from him through faith, then you're not going to go forward spiritually. That's why 2 Peter chapter 1 says, if you do these things that are written there, Peter says, you'll never fall. See, some Christians, they don't do the things that are written there, and so they fall and they utterly fail. And that's exactly what he says about young Christians and young men here in Isaiah 40. And I'll read it again in verse 30. It says, and the young men shall utterly fall. 2 Peter 1 says, if you do these things, you'll never fall. Well, what are the things that he says to do? He says you need to have faith, which looks to God for strength. But he says when you have that faith, make sure that you get through faith from God virtue. And you say, well, Pastor, what is virtue? It means moral energy. It's the energy, the desire, the strength that God gives you. Listen to me. To want to be morally excellent, to want to be like the Word of God. And unless you have that energy that God gives you through faith, that virtue, you're not going to be able to get this book in your life on a regular basis. You're going to have to be jacked up by somebody else that's doing that at a conference or something like that. Now, I'm not against a conference. I'm not against getting jacked up at a conference. But I'm saying to you, you ought to be up when you go there. And just go higher. Maybe you're walking, and now you're running. Or running, and now you're flying. You go higher! You don't need that to be strong. You get strong by your faith getting virtue, which is moral energy for excellence, for God's word in your life. And then it says, but you need to add to that knowledge. So as God gives you that, you need to make sure that you get knowledge. What's knowledge? That means that you get, listen to me, you get to experience what the Bible is being preached happening in your life. Experience it in your life. That's knowledge. It's epikinosko. It's experiential knowledge. And then he says, that's not enough. If you begin to practice what the Word of God says, he says, you need to add to that knowledge. You need to add to that something called temperance. And what is temperance? Temperance means that you need to say no to your lust. Some people, they just give in to their lust. And when you give in to your lust, what happens? You get a power cut. You get weaker. And you get away from knowing God, and now you get to know your flesh a little bit better. And you have to stop that. You have to say no to your flesh. And God will give you what you need to say no to the flesh when it cries to be satisfied. And instead, to be satisfied by the Word of God. So you add to your virtue, that's moral energy, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, saying no to your flesh, and to temperance, patience. That means you keep doing this, and you stay with it. You say, but I'm staying with it, but God's not coming through. He's not helping me. I'm not getting any encouragement. Well, you're not going to stay strong that way. You say, how long do I have to stay with knowledge and temperance, saying no to my flesh and staying out with God, until you see God coming through for you? And when you see God coming through for you in your life, you say, oh man, God is real. God's working. Look at that, he answered my prayer. Look at that, he's helping me. And you know what that leads to in your life? Listen to me. That leads to a greater appreciation for God, where you get to know God as the source of your strength, where you get to know God more as the sharer of his strength with you and giving you his strength. You get to know God as somebody that really comes through for you. Have you been experiencing godliness in your life? It's not by getting jacked up once in a while. It's something that happens as a process of 2 Peter chapter 1 that you go through in your life. And you should be able to have that. And then, you see, when you go and go to a special place, then you go higher and you go farther. And the Bible says, listen, when you get that godliness, you share brotherliness. And what's brotherliness? That means that you want to help others. What I'm preaching to you this morning, I'm doing it out of brotherly love. You say, why, Pastor? Because I've experienced this in my life. As an older man, I want you to know the strength of God. You can take it or leave it, but I want you to have something that's good. You say, why? Because I have brotherly love. What's brotherly love? I have a love for God's people because I know God. I know how to get his strength. I know how to stay strong. And I want you to know the secret. It's right here in Isaiah chapter 40. It's no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do for you. You can have that strength by, number one, knowing the source of your strength. And number two, by knowing the sharer of your strength and how he shares it with you. And I just told you how he shares it with you in 2 Peter 1 and how he shares it with you, because when you get saved, you're united to the source of your strength, even Jesus Christ. And by the way, people that are not drawing from Jesus Christ, they are going to fall and falter and fail. And that's why the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 23, that he bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. In other words, if you do not come to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, you're going to wither and perish. And I've seen many people come and go, and they don't stick because they've never come to Christ and received him as their Savior. You need to do that. And also, when you're a Christian, you need to draw from him and take in and give out through him. But I want to say one more thing, and there is a better way than having to get strong and then get jacked up again and then fail and falter and fall and backslide. And here it is. by knowing the science of your strength. Not only the source and the share, but the science. Look at verse 31. I'll read it. You follow. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now notice this, the word but. You see the word but there in verse 31? But is the difference between utterly falling. But is the difference between even young people that are not going to be able to stay with it because of natural strength of youth. They're going to falter and fail and utterly fall down in the job. It says, but you have another way. And that way is the science of how you get your strength. And you get it when you stop running on empty and you are borrowing your strength day by day from the Lord. I like what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:16. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I have a cell phone here. I've turned it off for the service. Amen? We don't need this cell phone on. But if I looked at this, it's probably charged to about 95%. You know why? Because last night it was maybe down to 10%. It was ready to fail and falter. But you know what? I hooked it up to a charger, the source of strength, and now it's recharged. How many of you have ever taken a cell phone, put the GPS on, you're on a trip, and you have to know the direction, and the thing ran out of charge just when you're trying to get an important turn, and you get messed up? I've done that. I've done it in Ohio. I'm going from Pennsylvania to Michigan. I've done it in Ohio. My cell phone has run out of strength. You know why? I forgot to recharge it. I didn't get recharged. Some of you, you're distracted from the source of your strength. And you know what's distracting you? Fun things you're doing in the world. Your own desires. Or maybe problems that you've got. And you're not taking in the Word of God. When the preacher's up here preaching to give you something to feed your faith, you're not taking it in. You're doing something else. You're somewhere else. You may be here physically, but you're out to lunch. You're not getting it. You need to recharge. And if you don't recharge, you're not going to be able to. You're going to miss the turns and you're going to get messed up. And this is what he's saying here. They that wait upon the Lord, what? For the charging, for the strength. They that wait upon the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 13 about the early church and the leaders of the early church. It said they ministered to what? The Lord by prayer and fasting. And when they ministered to the Lord spoke to their lives and said, I want you to send out Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to. See, you've got to wait on the Lord to get what he wants for you. You know why you're here this morning? To get something from the Lord Jesus that he wants to give you. And you can take that and then you can use it in your life. Maybe you need to take the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven so you can be saved, Christine, or whoever. Or maybe you need to take from the Lord Jesus some wisdom that you need in your life so that you can take it and use it and perhaps pass it on to others. You know, I'm always trying to pass on wisdom in personal counsel with other people or in the pulpit of the Word of God. But I'm waiting on the Lord to get what he has so I can give it out. That's what the early church preachers were doing. They were ministering to the Lord by prayer and fasting. And then God spoke to them. And they were able to bless the world. I think so many people in the church today are not waiting on the Lord and receiving from him what he has for them, so they have nothing to give out. They run, but they have no message when they get there. They're like the two runners that went when David sent them out, and they were supposed to give David the message, and the younger runner got there first, but when David asked him information, he didn't have the information. He hadn't received what he needed to get. You need to get what God's got for you. And you not faint. And the Bible says, when you do that, listen to me, when you wait on the Lord, so that you can give out. He says this, listen very carefully. He said, you will mount up with wings as eagles. You will fly. But he said, as you're flying, you're gonna get to the point where, okay, that strength is going to be used up, and you're going to come down, and now you're going to be on the ground. You're going to be running like this. You're going to be running. But as you run, you know, I was out in the mountains yesterday. I was running in the mountains, and then I started walking. But you know what I didn't do? I never sat down on my mountain walk or laid down on the jog. I didn't fall down, because there's no place for you to fall down on the job. If you fall down on the job and you need to be jacked up from just not doing much of anything, you're not waiting on the Lord and renewing your strength. You're not getting recharged every day. And if you are, you will fly, you will run, you will walk, but you will never fail and go down on the job. Some of you this morning, you're inconsistent. Not consistent. Not staying with the stuff. God's saying the science is to wait on the Lord. Get locked into the yoke of Jesus Christ. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? Because I share my strength with you. I share my money with you. I share my wisdom with you. I share all the resources that I have with you. Why? Because you're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting on Him to get His instructions and then to carry them out and to use them. Some people, they wait on the Lord, but they never do what He says. Other people, they're trying to do what He says, but they're not waiting on Him and receiving all that He has for them. And you get it, by the way, you get what He has for you day by day. Sometimes it's last minute, amen? Sometimes it's last minute. But if you're waiting on Him, He says, you will share and know my strength. How to stay strong. That's what God wants us to do. Too many Christians that are faltering and failing, and then having to be jacked up artificially or perhaps truly jacked up, but they should have been ready and benefited from something real that God wants to give them. But not just once in a while, all the time, every day, daily, get what God has for you. He wants to give it to you. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about how to stay strong. And I want to say this morning,